You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about another control and safety theme. I told y'all there's a lot of these, but we're getting through them one by one. So last week we talked about instability play, and today we're moving into cleaning play. Oh my gosh, this is one of my favorites. I say that all the time, but you know, you find such meaning in these themes, and so I guess they're all my favorites for different reasons, but cleaning play to me symbolizes so much deep work that's going on. So I think that's why it resonates, because I know that if a kid comes in and cleans, they eventually won't. And I always am so excited to watch that transformation. So I'm getting ahead of myself though. Okay, so let's talk about what cleaning play is, and then obviously, you know, what it could mean for the child and possible interpretations. So you do have some variance in how a child will demonstrate cleaning play. So typically, traditional cleaning play, as in just like as basic as you can get, you get kids that will actually clean things. So they will specifically tell you something is dirty, or they will make it dirty, or they will notice that there is marker on a doll or a toy or an animal, or there is sand on something. So it can actually be physically dirty, or they will intentionally make it such. Or they'll say it's nasty or gross or disgusting or some other adjective that kind of means dirty and needs to be cleaned, right? And so they will go clean it. Now, this isn't always with water. We, in our center, we have a sink in every playroom. So our kids will typically go over to the sink and get soap and water and actually clean it. But sometimes they will get something and just wipe it off or act as if they're cleaning it, and they'll tell you that they're cleaning it. So this would also include, for example, washing dishes. This would include anything, cleaning windows, wiping down walls. We have a cleaning kit as one of our real life toys. So it's a little carrier of sorts, a little plastic carrier, and it has a rag, a sponge, a brush, soap. I mean, it's a little container that has soap bubbles on it. There's not actually soap in it, but a little squirt bottle, a squeegee. I'm pretty sure Melissa and Doug makes it, and it's great because kids love it. And it actually has a cleaning checklist, and it shows you all the items around a house that would need to be cleaned with like a little dry erase checkbox list. So I love that toy. But if you don't have a cleaning kit per se, kids will find things that they can use to clean. And so they will wipe down walls, they will wipe shelves, they will clean windows, they will wash dishes, anything that is actually cleaning. Now, in another variance, if you will, sometimes kids will, in the middle of their play, get up and just start cleaning up the playroom. This will often sometimes happen at the end as well. The child, you give the child the 5-minute warning and the 2-minute warning, and then you say time's up, and they spend their last minute or so putting back all of the stuff in the playroom. So you definitely have the spontaneity of where they just start cleaning up, but that is more putting things back, cleaning up, versus actually taking something that's dirty and trying to clean it. But that still all falls under cleaning play. And this is also true for a child that comes into the playroom and tries to rearrange or put back or fix or clean things that are not where they think they should be. So they're actually trying to make the room, I'm air quoting, right. So they will see that a child left the Lego brick in the Lincoln log bin and they will fix it. So, and don't, I just said fix, but don't get confused with fixing play. That's not what I meant. They will put it back where they believe it belongs as part of their cleaning play. So they will usually go in one of those three directions. They will legitimately clean something. They will spontaneously start putting something back, either in the middle, or at the end of the session, or they will notice that things are not where they believe they should be, and they will fix it. So those are your ways that cleaning play will emerge. Now, you want to keep in mind that there are different ways that they will clean, but there are different meanings as well. So super anxious kids want everything structured, organized, perfect, clean, put away. That is the way that they manage their anxiety. So typically really high levels of anxiety will be this type of cleaning play child, especially the ones that rearrange and put things back and won't leave anything out, etc. Okay, another interpretation is the very self-imposed pressure and or parentified children that are expected to be perfect at home. So if parents have put a lot of pressure on the child that they always have to do everything right, you also will have that type of child that kind of fears disapproval. And so everything has to be perfect, and they will work very, very hard to make sure that everything is always clean and neat and organized. And, you know, there's no mess, there's nothing left out, something like that. So that pressure can create this kind of behavior in a child. And then another option is if they happen to get a little bit uninhibited in the playroom, and I guess I should define uninhibited. So they get a little bit aggressive, maybe a little bit angry. They mess make. So there's any kind of dumping, mess making. They play with a whole bunch of stuff and the room kind of looks like a chaotic mess. They will try to undo that or to make it right. So they begin to clean, to put things away because they don't want to have the evidence that they were a little bit out of control. And that cleaning kind of resets and reorients and starts over again. And there's, again, the control and the anxiety and all of that worked in. So cleaning play, I tell parents this when I meet with them. When I have kids that come in and they put, when I give them the 5-minute warning or the 2-minute warning and they put everything back every single week. When I have consultations, I always say to parents, I am waiting for the day when I say, okay, buddy, our time is up, and he does not clean up his mess. And then, of course, you have the parents that are like, well, he is expected to clean up his mess, and he's never allowed to leave things out, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there thinking, and that's exactly why he cleans up in my playroom, because he's scared of your disapproval. But I say, well, the rules are different in the playroom, and let's go back to one of the things that we talked about early on from the CPRT manual. I'll pop quiz you all. What is the rule of thumb that we use for how the rules in the playroom are different? I believe in you all. I'm sure you all yelled at me, grant in fantasy what you can't grant in reality. So rules are different, right? And so I will often say to parents, well, in the playroom, there's no expectation that your child will clean up. That is my job. And I make it very clear that it's your job to play. It's my job to clean. And so therefore, if the child chooses to clean up, that is their choice, but it is not an expectation. But I am waiting for the moment when they leave stuff out. Even if it's just one or two objects, they don't have to put everything away. Why? Because that is the reduction of anxiety. That is the reduction of fear, of ramification. And they know that they don't have to always have everything perfect and clean, because that's not the way the real world works. You can't always have everything organized and structured and exactly the way it should be. Life is messy. And so we try to control that mess by cleaning everything up. But the reality is that that is not sustainable, because it's self-imposed pressure that you'll never be able to keep up with. So the day that a child makes a mess and leaves it, plays with things, doesn't put them back, doesn't have to organize when they walk in the door. I've been working with a little guy for probably 20, 25 sessions at this point. And it is just in the last couple of sessions that he has not come in and assessed the entire room to find everything that was in his mind out of place. He spent the first 10 or 15 minutes of every session looking at all my cubbies, all my shelves, all of my bins and going, this doesn't go here. This is supposed to be over here. Why is this over here? Who put this here? And that's that cleaning play need. And then the last few weeks he hasn't done it. And I've been doing my internal cartwheels, right? Because that means that all of a sudden the anxiety levels are low enough. The need for perfection and control is low enough that he's okay to say, oh, it doesn't matter if it's there. And that's what we're looking for in that cleaning play theme, is the resolution of that, where there's kind of that softness of, I don't have this pressure and I don't have to do this. So that is cleaning play theme. I love it. I think it's very meaningful for kids. So I'm hopeful that that helps you as well. And we all have cleaners. So it is inevitable you will end up with a kid that cleans in some capacity. So I hope that that helps you manage that and understand that a little bit better. If you would like to get in touch with me, please email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Go to playtherapynow.com for some training opportunities. If you would like to go into more child-centered approach, specifically in the private practice play therapy space. And I am just so grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your engagement. Thank you for working with kids and their families. And the work that you're doing matters. The work that you're doing is significant. Thank you for your commitment to kids. Thank you for committing to change the world one kid at a time. It is just such an honor that we get to do this. And, you know, we get to be a small part in the lives of kids and their families. And I don't take that lightly. I'm sure you don't either. And that gratitude is big, because we get to walk alongside people that, you know, at one point were strangers to us, and they trust us enough to let us in. They trust us enough to be with their child. And everyone in that family is better for it long term. So please be encouraged. Please know that what you are doing makes a difference. And I certainly know how grateful I am that child-centered play therapy exists. My entire world hinges on it. So it's very fulfilling and rewarding to know that we're all working toward the same goal, which is a world full of happy kids that become happy adults, right? All right, y'all. Good to be with you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.